law.
It's still a law, isn't it? We're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Somebody explain it to me. What is it to you? How do you recognize the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Sure, but I mean...
Holy Ghost.
Why?
Through obedience.
Why? It brings obligation on your soul. You know, it's funny, you know, we preach about toothpicks and paper clips. You know, the spiritually dull Christian walks on them, kicks them, never sees them. And what God has to do is the big bombardier in heaven, he drops stumbling blocks in our way. And you can tell how spiritually insensitive you are by the size of the bomb. It's great. I mean, if you find yourself walking into fallen trees that are thicker than you are tall, you're pretty spiritually dull. And what God wants you to do is get the log out of your eye so that you can get the splinter, which is smaller than a toothpick, out of your brother's eye. And it's a funny thing, you know, the more spiritually sensitive you become, the more you see toothpicks and paper clips. I mean, I cannot walk over a paper clip. I can't do it. I mean, even in this room, I mean, there have been times I've been in a restaurant or whatever and there'll be a paper clip on the floor and I got to pick that dude up, not because I covet paper clips. I mean, it's just a funny thing. Little things. Like $35 checks that got lost. Like $200 checks that didn't pass and then they passed and we gave the money and we didn't go back and get the check. I think that belongs to somebody here, I'm not sure. Little things. And I'll tell you what, we don't do little things. Well, let me just put it like this. You never have to worry about doing big things for God if you don't do the little things. If you're afraid of big things, keep walking on the paper clips. You'll never have to be concerned with the big things of God. Never touch it. And then we'll take it one step further. You'll never have to worry about a big, strong moving of the Spirit in your heart as long as you fail to obey the little, still, small voice of the Spirit. So just keep hardening your heart to the little movings of the Spirit. Like maybe the thought comes to you, maybe I should help Mom set the table for dinner tonight. But because she doesn't ask you, you don't do it. Keep doing that. Keep disobeying the still small voice, and you'll never have to worry about the Holy Ghost coming on you in a big way. Great, huh? Because you reap what you sow. You sow the little things, you reap the big things. Is there a principle of Scripture for that? Sure is. Jesus said, if you're faithful over the little things, I'll make you ruler over what? What? much.
And it happened at your house with a phone call. For it said to give you $20 within a half hour. And I did. And within a half hour, I got a phone call. Go do a telephone job and make $300.
And you see, the thing is, probably not 20 minutes after you gave me $20, Cece came in and said, "Honey, remember you said you were going to give me $20? I said, "Well." So, being led of the Lord, I said, "Well, how about 10? Would you take 10? Establish your hearts. The work of God in one small little phrase is the establishment of a relationship in love of God in a man and a woman's heart. I mean, that's all there is to it. So let me paraphrase what the Spirit said to me through Hollis. He said, "Gene, be patient in this work that I've given you oversight of. Be patient as an under-shepherd. Continue having patience, hope, and faith for the work which I've caused you to partake of, knowing that as the fruit comes forth in the seasons that it grows, so will I cause this work to come forth. Look for my coming. And while you're looking and waiting, Gene, continue the work of the ministry to the heart of man. Continue this word of government in a man's inner being. For it is the work that's closest to my heart. And know this, Gene, that I will come at appointed times and seasons, because I know you look for me, and I know that you know that it's not your work, it's my work, and I know that you know that they're not your people, they're my people. And I know that your heart is just to do the right thing on their behalf for me. Be patient. Continue the work of the heart ministry and government to the heart of man by the Spirit. Continue that work." And then this morning, I was quickened to Proverbs 20, verse 5. And I want to read the first couple of verses, which puts it really in context. Proverbs doesn't always follow in context, but in many places it does. There are several scriptures that follow that are giving a main theme. Start 1 to 5, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived by it is not wise. Okay, now, what does wine and strong drink do? It tears down moral fiber and causes emotions to be at a peak where the drunken individual is controlled totally by emotion, not by reason or thought. So you say, you may read this and say, "Well, I don't drink wine. I'm not a drunkard. I don't drink alcohol." But you see, if you're an emotional person who is totally led by your emotions, you don't need wine and strong drink. You're already there. So you're just as much in sin as if you were drunk. Just for those of you who are self-righteous and say, "I don't drink." Verse 3. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. Boy, what a scripture. When the scripture says it's an honor, what the scripture is saying is God will honor. Do you understand that? You can read this without messing around with the scripture. You can read this to say God will honor. When the scripture says it's an honor, you can paraphrase that to read God will honor. Because that's what it's saying. It's meaning within the truth. And the truth comes from God, and within God's character, honor comes to those who cease from strife.
Of yourself, not being led by the Spirit, but seeking to procure and put forth yourself and make things happen for yourself, rather than being led by the Spirit, waiting.
So you could also say, it's an honor for a man to cease from self and yield to the Spirit. But every fool will meddle. Gosh, I don't want to touch that one. Listen to this. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Golly. This I didn't see, but I see now. What we've been talking about all morning. The farmer in the field. The Christian in the operation of God, dealing with the issues of his heart. The spiritually asleep and slothful person will not judge their heart. Will allow no shaking to come to them. What is plowing? It's judging the earth, isn't it? When you plow, you judge the earth and you shake the earth and you break the earth and you make it soft. Why? So it'll receive seed and water. And it'll remove the rocks. But the fool, the sluggard, he ain't going to plow because he says it's too cold. It hurts too much. I don't want to. And I don't have to, and I'm going to another church, so there. Well, good. Have a nice day.
I've read that and realized there's no vision of hope. They don't have hope. They won't ever have.
Well, that's one side of it, honey. Maybe they don't have hope because they don't have vision because they haven't been taught. Most of you are in that position, right? You went to church. I mean, you went to church because you love the Lord. No, because I doubt if there's very many people go to church that hate God. Unless they go to say, I'm going to church today and I'm gonna prove that you're not alive because I know you won't move in this church. I mean, maybe that's somebody's attitude, but for the most part, people go to church because they love the Lord. But they're sitting under false teachers. They're sitting under people who have never been shaken, plowed, or moved by God themselves. So how can they teach you? All they do is read Scripture, teach you Scripture, teach you history, teach you doctrine, teach you methods and traditions. And you become smarter and smarter and deader and deader. Someone said that tradition was the live religion of the dead. Tradition is the live religion of the dead. That'll keep you thinking for a while. But the sluggard won't plow because of the reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest. You know what comes to me? 10 virgins. 5 head oil. They all slept. 5 were sluggards. 5 were workers. There's only one way that you lose oil in your lamp. There's only one way that you lose the Holy Ghost in your heart. And that's when you refuse to plow. You refuse to judge yourself. You refuse to examine yourself. And this I do. I examine myself. I exercise myself, Paul says, that I be free from an offense with man or God. I exercise myself daily to make sure that I got nothing in my heart against man or against God. And let me tell you something, you will have things against your brother. And it's a religious position just to say, oh yes, I hate Sister Eunice, but Lord, because I hate her, I'm going to say, I forgive her, Lord, and I love her in you, hallelujah. Okay, I'm clean from Sister Eunice, and we move on to the next thing. That ain't it, folks. You got to go to Sister Eunice. Well, I can't stand her. That's why you got to go to her. Well, she never listens. That's why you got to go to her. You got to go to her so you'll be free. And so she'll have an opportunity to see the wickedness of her own heart.
How will we learn to be overcomers if we don't press into hardships and tribulation and find out where God's at in it? And find out the way that He has been in it. How? If we withdraw, we never will. We'll never learn how to overcome anything.
And we'll never see Him overcome on our behalf.
The fact is, the reason why it's a tribulation and a problem is because we don't have what it takes to overcome. And the only way we'll get it is by pressing in and finding out the way that Jesus has made to overcome this mountain or this valley. That's the way it works. That's how we learn. That's how we come through taking on more and more of His character. Because the fact is, He has overcome the world. He says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Well, how are we going to overcome the world? If every time something happens in our life, we just run and flee from it. Rather than pressing into the cold, and plowing when it's cold, doing that which we know is the right thing to do in the sight of God when things are tough. That's when it's hard. That's when we've got to have faith. That's when we've got to stand on the Word, because you know what? It don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's contrary to what feels good. But what's true and right, that's what we've got to get a hold of. Anything that's wrought in our heart of God is never based on feelings or what feels right. The truth is always contrary to self-life, self. Self always feels good. The heart of unconverted man always does that which feels good. But the truth always cuts self. And for a true work of God to be done in our heart, we have to stand on what we know is right and true in the sight of God in faith and do it when it's cold and doesn't feel good. And then the work is done. Then we see Him move on our behalf. Because we pressed in. And we overcame because we pressed in faith and He showed us the way.
You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
There's so many things that we miss from God because we mess with circumstance and situation. We do. We don't allow circumstance and situation to have its perfect work in us. When that circumstance and situation was purposed by God, hand crafted by God for you personally, so that you would get the benefit of God in that situation to the fullest degree. But because you thought it to be insignificant, you just let it go. Or you had power to change it, so you changed it. It's like the $35 check. I'll guarantee if you had no money to eat on, you'd be going to that lady and getting another check. If you needed that money, you'd be there. But because you have power to walk without that $35, you'll never see what God intended to happen through that. Those are the workings of the Spirit. And what they do is they prove our spiritual position and condition at the time. They prove it. They prove what we really believe by what we do, whether we respond or whether we reject. The sluggard won't plow because it's cold, and therefore he'll beg in the harvest and have nothing. In the harvest, he'll have nothing. When the harvest comes, he won't partake of the festivities of the harvest because he won't even be there. You know, even the gleaners after the harvest get something. But the sluggard that won't plow, he doesn't even get what the gleaners get. Nothing is what he gets. Nothing. Zero.